All right. Let's open our Bibles to Matthew chapter number 2. We're just going to jump in through the right of this. Hey man, around here you got to be ready at all times for plan A, B, C, and D. But I want to look at something about the I'm not going to preach on the wise men that I would attended on or thought I was going to. I'm going another direction. But the Bible says, well, let's just read. I don't think we can do anything, any harm to read the Scripture. In fact, what could I say to be more valuable, more important, more inspired than what the Bible says? So let's just read it. Verse number 1, now when Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea in the days of Herod the king, behold, there came wise men from the east to Jerusalem, saying, where is he that is born king of the Jews? For we have seen his star in the east and are come to worship him. Note that statement right there. We are come to worship him. And when Herod the king had heard these things, he was troubled, and all Jerusalem with him. Now what about that? Herod gets fired up when he finds out somebody is going to want to worship someone besides him. Amen? That's what the devil's all been out of shape about anyway. It's when you give your attention and your affection to the Lord Jesus Christ instead of him. That's what bothers him. But anyway, when Herod the king had heard these things, he was troubled, and all Jerusalem with him. And when he had gathered all the chief priests and scribes and the people together, he demanded of them where Christ should be born. Now these are people that knew the scriptures, knew the prophecies. And here's what they said when he asked them the question in verse number 5. And they said unto him, in Bethlehem of Judea, for thus it is written by the prophet, and thou Bethlehem in the land of Judah, art not thou least among the princes of Judah, for out of thee shall come a governor that shall rule my people Israel. Then Herod, when he had privily called the wise men, inquired of them diligently what time the star appeared. And he sent them to Bethlehem and said, go and search diligently for the young child, and when ye have found him, bring me word again that I may come and worship him also. And this is a side little note here. The devil will even appear to be friendly to you to accomplish his will. These wise men could have left and did leave Herod's palace thinking, Herod is my friend. Herod is friendly to my cause. We're wanting to know who the Christ child is, and he is too. You better watch out who you open your life up to be friends with. But they may not be friendly. They may be an agent of hell itself placed in your life to destroy Christ's influence in your life. Amen. Amen, that's right. And listen, they didn't know that till God told them. God gave that to him and revealed it to him what Herod's real plot was, and they departed another way. Right. You need to let God in on you choosing your friends. Right. You need to, because he knows your friends. He knows what's behind them, what's in them, where you're going to be because of them in 10 years. He knows all of that. God knows all of that. And if he puts flags in your life about friends, you better not ignore that. Say amen right there. Well, hey, there's a little side message. Amen. Where did we get to? Verse 9, I believe it is. And when they heard the king, they departed, and lo, the star they saw in the east went before them till it came and stood over where the young child was. And when they saw the star, notice this, they rejoiced with exceeding great joy. Now listen, they were not rejoicing because of the star, or over the star, or about the star.
They were rejoicing over who the star had led them to. Amen. They were rejoicing over that truth. And we find that in verse 11. And when they were coming to the house, not the barn. Okay. I know we, in our manger scenes at Christmas plays, we put the wise men in the manger scene, but they weren't in the manger scene. Scripturally now, come on now. I mean, I don't think it's going to grieve the Holy Ghost if we do that, but biblically, they didn't show up till about a year and a half later. A year and a half to 2 years later. Amen? And here, they're in a house, and he's not a babe, he's called a young child in verse 11. So there has been some growth, and there has been some time elapsed. But the Bible said, and when they were come into the house, they saw the young child with Mary his mother, and watch this now, and fell down and worshipped him. Right. Fell down and worshipped him. And when they had opened their treasures, amen, whatever's going on here, amen. Amen. And when they had opened their treasures, they presented unto him gifts. What's there going on here, Brother James? Amen. I hate a PA set. I'll get that wireless, Brother James. I hate preaching with them, but if it keeps it up, I'm gonna get my black mic over there, wherever it's at. All right? Just be ready. I will read that verse again. Devil don't want that verse read. Amen. That's right. And when they were coming to the house, they saw the young child with Mary, his mother, and fell down and worshipped him. Not her. Hello? Not her. There was no Mary worship here. You don't get that out of the Bible. You get that from Catholicism. Amen. The worship of Mary as a co-redemptrix and a co-mediatrix, meaning her and Christ was partners, co-redemptrix. She worked a partnership with Christ about redemption, and co-mediatrix, meaning she and Christ worked together about mediating for you. You don't get that out of the Bible, dear friend. It's amazing how much error could be exposed if people would just believe the Bible. But of course, by the time the truth of history verifies it, that same bunch developed Mary worship, and they still call her the Mother of God. Hello? Ladies and gentlemen, had forbid for years upon years upon years for any of their parishioners to have a Bible. Because they knew that if the people had a Bible, they would read it and learn that a lot of that junk that they preach and tell and develop as religious dogma is not true. Amen? And I'm telling you, they do that. I don't want to get on that. I need to get off of that. My blood pressure's going up. And the Bible said, and they worshiped him, and when they had opened their treasures? That didn't say leftovers. They gave out of their treasures. It's amazing how that when you get to where you can worship, that God also has access to your willingness to give. Amen. A tightwad will never worship. Closed-fisted person will never worship. Well, amen. There may be several mini sermons this morning. And then he opened their treasures, and they presented unto him gifts, gold and frankincense and myrrh. And being warned of God in a dream that they should not return to Herod, they departed into their own country another way. You can be seated. Let's bow for a moment of prayer. Father, thank you for the privilege to be in the house of God. We thank you, Lord, for what you've already said to us in the song service, through the Sunday school hour, and through the testimonies.
Thank you, Lord, for speaking to us through your Holy Spirit. We give you praise for that and glory and honor. Lord, I pray for these few moments here together that you will bring to my mind the things that I need to see and say, and you would help us to bring magnification to the Lord Jesus. We're not here to see each other. We're not here, Lord, for the promotion of our church, but we are here this morning to point all of the attention to you. Have your way, I pray, in Jesus' name. Amen. The Bible tells us here in verse number 2 and also verse number 11 that the wise men worship the Lord. Worship the Lord. Might I add, there's several things we could say along those lines, but they did not worship the Lord till they got close to the Lord. They did, amen. Listen, the devil is the author of distance. But I'm glad God can put and does and has put in your life the Holy Spirit, which is typified by that star. That star led them from where they were in a Gentile world of darkness and led them over 1,000 miles without GPS. A man thinks he's smart to come up with satellites and GPS and a mobile navigation. But I tell you, God was way ahead of man in that regard. He knows how. Listen, he don't have any problem of getting you to Jesus if you're willing to follow him. Amen. That's right. But I want you to notice the Bible says that they worshiped him. Wise men still worship the Lord. We know it to be one of our Christmas carols that was written in the early 1700s was in fact not written as a Christmas carol. Do you realize that a lot of the quote unquote Christmas carols were not written for that purpose? Probably the most scriptural one of all, probably the greatest one that I like is, "Oh, joy to the world. The Lord has come." Did you know that was not written as a Christmas carol? That was written as a hymn about him. Joy to the world. The Lord is coming. I think that would be good to sing that in July. I think that would work well in March. I think you could sing that at any time and it would be good. Amen. Joy. But because we've classified it, God help us, watch out for classification. Amen. Rob ourselves a lot of blessings by doing that. But we classify that as Christmas carols, and we might possibly hit it one or two licks during the Christmas few days that's being observed, and then that'll be the end of it. Right. Isn't it amazing? Go in the places of business and thank God Jesus still, amen, Jesus still has an effect on society. Right. Hallelujah, I like that. In fact, on Christmas Day, it's still a blessing that when you get out on the road, you don't hardly see nobody out. I like that. Amen. I mean, the wheels of commerce are just all but shuts down. Amen. Thank God. After 2,000 years, Jesus Christ has still got us some attention. Amen. Hallelujah. And will continue to do so as long as God has his people on planet Earth. But there was another song that was written not as a Christmas carol, but as a hymn about him. And the title of it is, "O Come, All Ye Faithful." I want to read those lyrics to you. "O come, all ye faithful, joyful and triumphant." I wonder how many of that would eliminate us. Joyful and triumphant. O come ye to Bethlehem, come and behold him, born the King of Angels." And then it goes into this repetitious statement, "O come, let us adore him. O come, let us adore him. O come, let us adore him." Christ the Lord. Verse number 2, oh, sing, choirs of angels, sing in exaltation, sing all that here in heaven, God's holy word, give to our Father glory in the highest. Oh, come and let us adore Him. Says it 3 times, oh, come, let us adore Him. The 3rd verse says, all hail, Lord, we greet Thee. Born this happy morning, oh Jesus, forevermore be Thy name adored. Oh, I like that. Word of the Father, now in flesh appearing. Oh, come, let us adore Him. Oh, come, let us adore Him. Oh, come, let us adore Him. Christ the Lord. Well, I want to tell you, that's been on my heart and mind for the last little bit about that very truth that the wise men did and others did. We'll look at it in a moment. And that is the thing I believe that's missing in many of our Christmas. We that are saved, we know it's certainly missing in the world, but that's natural. You understand that it's normal, it is natural for the world and the heathens and the people that are not saved to not adore the Lord, to not worship the Lord. That's natural. That's natural. But I'm talking about it's what's missing among God's people. That song emphasizes it. The wise men among others, Simeon and Anna and Elizabeth and Mary and others, my friend, and the shepherds, they all magnify what's missing in our Christmas, and that is adoration. Oh, come, let us adore Him. You can have trees and presents and gifts, giving and receiving, and not adore the Savior. Are you listening? You can go to church and not adore the Savior. I want to make a statement here. Think about it before you judge it. You can even be saved and not adore the Lord. There is a big, vast difference of loving the Lord and being in love with the Lord. If you're saved, you do love Jesus. If you're lost, you can't love Jesus until you get saved. Amen, that's right. I've had lost people tell me, I love Jesus. I know what they mean well. And I don't tell them, no, you don't. I don't try to start a fight or anything. But I know in my heart, lost people cannot love the Lord. Amen. They love darkness. They love sin. They love selfishness. They love things of that nature. And when you get saved, all of that changes. But God's people can love the Lord, but there is a big difference of being in love with the Lord. I believe that Jesus knew Peter loved him. But I believe Jesus was wondering, how much do you love me? See, what level of love do you have? What level of adoration do you have for the Lord Jesus? And you know as well as I do, Brother Craig has already made reference to it, that much of the themes of Christmas are completely got Christ etched out. Right? I mean, commercialism and the world don't listen. You know this is right. The world, they don't really like Christmas because of Christ. They like Christmas because they make millions of dollars. That's right. They make millions of dollars. See, the devil has got in this thing and then twisted it all around, hasn't he? In fact, the first Christmas, it wasn't Christ giving gifts. It was Christ receiving gifts. Hey, and by the way, on that note, what are you planning on giving Jesus this year? After all, it is His birthday last time I checked. I think I would be highly upset and would probably pitch a North Carolina hissy if I had a birthday and a birthday party and everybody brought gifts was for other people, I think I'd have a right, Brother Tom, to pitch a fit. Wouldn't you? Would you? I'd be upset. Hey, wait, I'd want to say, wait a minute. It's my birthday. Hey, man, this is all about me. Wouldn't you want to say that? But everybody else gets gifts. In fact, here's a sobering thought, Brother Tom. You probably are going to get more than Jesus gets this year. That's pretty stout, isn't it? Huh? Come on now. And it's not that we are trying to repay him. It's that we are to honor him. Amen, that's right. Well, I believe that adoration is missing in our churches. And you know, surely it's the heart of the Father to say, oh, come, let us adore him. I don't think that anything would please the Father any more than to see his son get the credit, get the glory, get the attention, get the honor, the homage that he deserves. Oh, you know that the Father wants him to get that attention, as was the day that he was baptized. He spoke and thundered from heaven with a loud voice, "This is my beloved Son, hear ye him." What he went on to say, "In whom I am well pleased, hear ye him." On the Mount of Transfiguration, oh yes, there was Moses and Elijah, and there was Peter, James, and John, and Jesus on the Mount. And you know what happened? Oh, Peter looked over and he saw Moses, and he looked over and he saw Elijah, and he was going ooh and ah and wow. And Jesus is standing over here not getting any attention. But you know what God did? God said, "I'll fix that. Elijah's a good man. Moses a good man, but not worthy of honor at worship. I'll fix that." And he allowed the cloud to come in on that mountain, and guess who couldn't be seen no more? Moses and Elijah. God knows how to put a cloud in your life in some areas that's getting attention, and Jesus is not getting attention. Amen. Some of the things the Lord works in our life, he may just be trying to get us to refocus our attention on the Lord Jesus Christ. And that cloud come in there that day, and guess who was transfigured in before them? And the only one they could see was the Lord Jesus Christ transfigured in front of them. And God spoke again, said, "This is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased." God wants his son honored. Do you think that it grieves God? Do you think that it grieves the Holy Spirit? Do you think it grieves the Lord Jesus Christ when his first advent, his incarnation, is so commercialized and overlooked and diluted and polluted? Do you think it grieves him? You know it does. You know surely that it does. The word adore means to love someone deeply. The word adore means to love someone intensely, to honor, to worship, to glorify. If we could use some, maybe some more worldly definitions, we would say that the word adore means to be crazy about. You remember back when you got Twitter pated? You was crazy about that individual. Was, is, you'll have to answer that. But you was crazy about that person. All you wanted to think about, all you wanted to talk about was them. Why? You adored them. And here's another word, more of a worldly definition, but it helps us to see it. Not only it means to be crazy about, but it also means to be nuts about. To flip over. To idolize. God wants us to adore his son, Jesus. Adoration is a fervent, deep, devoted love for someone.
that holds an elevated place or position in your heart and life. You don't adore everybody. You only adore somebody. Who is it that holds? And by the way, there's a fight for that position. There is there's competition for that position. About who or what is going to occupy that position in your life that you are going to be flipped over, that you are going to be crazy about, that you are going to worship and glorify. It's either going to be Jesus or it's going to be somebody else or something else. And one of the great commandments is, I will have no other gods before me. Idolatry is allowing anything or anyone to get so close to you that it gets between you and the Lord. Are you listening? And that can happen easily, and that can happen by good people. You can listen, girlfriends, boyfriends, come on. You can allow your boyfriend to become idolized in your life. Let me help you to think if that's going on or not. Which of you thought more about in the last 48 to 72 hours? Jesus or him? Case closed. Oh, let's open that case back up. Let's open that case back up. Let me present a second consideration. In the last 72 hours, has his name come across your lips? And if so, how many times compared to the times that you've talked about, oh, Mr. Big Shot? Of course, all these are applicable to the other side too, boyfriends with girlfriends. Isn't that right? And listen, I'm not going to get on that, but I have seen young people be spiritual till they fall in love. And I want you to know, dear friend, that cannot be God's will for romance to cause you to get backslid.
You're right.
Amen? Getting Twitter-pated, that's natural, thank God. For boys to like girls, that's normal. For girls to like boys, that's normal. I've seen parents get all bent out of shape when they said, hey, my boy likes girls. I want to say in our day, you better say glory to God. Hallelujah. What if they say, hey, my girl likes boys? That's not a reason for you to flip out and go crazy about. Hey, you ought to thank God at least there's a little natural there. Amen. Well, how I got on that. Amen. But that adoration is that fervent, deep, devoted affection that you have for someone that occupies an elevated position. See, you will not have an adoration for somebody that's way down here. Somebody's going to have to be exalted in your life. Somebody, the wise men worshiped somebody that was way up here. An elevated position in your life. Amen. And the devil don't want, listen, the devil don't want Jesus to occupy that position, Brother Klitschko. I did a study one time. I preached it here years ago on wolves. Remember that? I don't know how many remembers that. Might ought to bring it back out and warm it up. But one thing I found out about a wolf and the devil is in that classification. You know, he's opposing the sheep and he's always out to devour the sheep and he's attacking the sheep as a wolf. But one thing about a wolf, he always seeks an elevated spot to do his howling. They want promoted. They want to be promoted. Of course, most of them that are up on that howling, they think, man, there's the big dog right there. No, there's an alpha female back in the shadows that's running his life. That's a little side sermon. You can take that home. Say amen, men. Might as well. The truth is out. But the Lord wants us to adore Jesus. He's worthy, is He not? He's worthy. Well, there's a lot that we could say about that. Let me just point out these examples. And if we talked about why is He worthy of adoration, what did He do? Hey, we'd be here till next year talking about that. Why is He worthy? Listen, let me give you these real quickly. And you just, of course, the wise men, you've already heard some of that. That is you that were in Sunday school. heard some of that. Sunday school upstairs, I might even go to get more specific. But in Luke chapter number 1, we find another one that adored Him, and that was Mary, His mother. Mary, His mother, adored the Lord Jesus Christ. When Gabriel had revealed to her the plot and plan of God to use her, amen, come on now, you can't deny it. God wanted to use her body. God wanted to use her physically. Amen. Your body does matter. Amen. God didn't just use a girl with a body. God used a girl that had made some choices of purity. Amen. She was highly favored. Among women, not above women, but among women. And when she heard the plan of God, here was her response in verse 38. And Mary said, "Behold, the handmaid of the Lord, be it unto me according to thy word." And the angel departed from her. Of course, the story goes on how that she went into the hill country where Elizabeth, her cousin, lived, her and Zacharias. And she told the news about the Lord Jesus conceived in her by the Holy Spirit. And Elizabeth, the Bible said, was filled with the Holy Ghost. And verse number 41, the Bible tells us that the babe we know to be John the Baptist leaped in her womb. See, what was all that about? That was people being excited, being stirred about the Lord Jesus Christ. Oh, that's so elementary. That's so basic, isn't it? But are we not missing that? Let me ask you this question so I make sure that I'm not way out in left field. Was there enough adoration of the Lord in our service this morning? Was there too much? Was there enough? Do you think the Lord would look down upon our service this morning and smile? There's a church down there that's honored me today. There's a church that's got people on the pews and a preacher in the pulpit that's got their mind on me today, and they're worshiping me today. Do you think we did? Do you think He'd smile on us this morning? Y'all can nod your head right there. One way or the other, this way or this way, amen? I don't think He was adored near what He should have. Listen, there's times, Brother Travis, there's times in church that there's a few people that worships Him. Sometimes it's very few. But I believe there's always going to be at least one or two, at least, that's going to have their mind on the Lord and come to church to get something from God. Do you realize the majority of people that go to church this morning, not just at RBT, but around the world, will go to the church, sit through the service, and leave and never even remotely get close to adoring Jesus. And that's what Christmas is about, isn't it? The wise men worshipped Him. Mary honored Him. Here's what Mary said. "My soul doth magnify the Lord, and my spirit hath rejoiced in God my Savior." I think it's amazing she called Him her Savior, because she needed to be saved just like I do. It did. Amen. And she honored Him. She worshipped Him. She adored Him. Amen. More than just a mother and child relationship. She adored Him as her Savior. Now let's move on as we read on. We go on down into verse number 57. And we find here that Jesus was 8 days old.
And we go follow that on down through Zacharias and Elizabeth and come into chapter number 2. And we find in this passage of Scripture where the shepherds appear. Where the shepherds comes into the situation. The angels reveal to the shepherds what had happened, what is taking place with Mary and that which was conceived in her of the Holy Ghost. Verse number 8 of chapter 2 of Luke. And there were in the same country shepherds abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flocks by night. And lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were sore afraid. And the angel said unto them, Fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. And this shall be a sign of you. You shall find a babe wrapped in swaddling clothes and lying in a manger. And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of heavenly hosts praising God and saying, Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. So we find that the wise men adored him. We find that Mary adored him. The shepherds adored him. But also we find here in chapter 2 of Luke, we also find there in verse 13 and 14, the angels adored him. Everybody around his birth was adoring him, except Herod and the religious crowd. Amen. Here's another one, chapter 2 of Luke, verse number 25. The Bible shows us, here's a man by the name of Simeon. A man by the name of Simeon. Let's just skip down verse 25. And behold, there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon. And the same man was just and devout, waiting for the consolation of Israel. And the Holy Ghost was upon him. And it was revealed unto him by the Holy Ghost that he should not see death before he had seen the Lord's Christ. And he came, verse 27, he came by the Spirit into the temple. That's a good way to go to the temple. That's a good way to come to Rogersville Baptist Temple. And he came by the Spirit into the temple. And when the parents brought in the child Jesus to do for him after the custom of the law, then took he, that is Simeon, he was waiting for the consolation of Israel, that God said, you'll not die till you see him. And when he was brought into the temple, then he took him up in his arms. Can you see the intimacy there? Can you see the closeness and the adoration and the affection there? Then he took him up in his arms and blessed God and said, Lord, now lettest thy servant depart in peace according to thy word. Mine eyes have seen thy salvation. And Simeon died. What was all that gesture? Taking him up in his arms and blessing God. Oh, adoration. Adoration. I hope we all get under conviction this morning for our lack of it. For our lack of adoration and honor and worship of the Lord. And then Anna, on down in chapter number 2 of Luke's gospel, you find Anna comes into the picture in verse number 30. Well, we'll just skip down and jump in verse 36. And there was one Anna, a prophet, a daughter of Phanuel, of the tribe of Asher. She was of great age and lived with a husband 7 years from her virginity. And she was a widow of about 84 years. She was married for 7, and she had been widowed for 84 years. Isn't that something? Which departed not, verse 37, she departed not from the temple, but served God with fastings and prayers night and day. She didn't let her situation cause her to leave the temple. She didn't allow her circumstances of her husband dying and living all these years alone. She did not allow that to discourage her from spiritual involvement and spiritual activity. The Bible said she kept right on praying and fasting and serving God night and day. Amen. Verse 38. And she coming in that instant,
gave thanks likewise, as did Simeon, likewise unto the Lord, and spake of him to all them that looked for redemption in Jerusalem. So what are you saying?
I said that all around Jesus' birth was adoration. Adoration. Worship. Honor. Respect. Reverence. Obedience. Surrender. Is there any adoration in our life? I'm afraid we're gonna be ashamed when we stand before the Lord of how little we worshiped Him. And it's hard for me to define and describe worship, but I know this. If you've ever done it, or if you ever will do it, you will know you did it. Because worship, whether it be it's in prayer, worship, whether it be in the house of God, whatever it is, privately, publicly, or whatever, if you ever get at His feet and love on Him and worship Him and honor Him and adore Him, you will know it. It'll do something for you that nothing else will. Amen. And it's what's missing, Brother Bruce, in our lives spiritually. I had to ask the Lord this week, Lord, forgive me. Forgive me for getting my eyes on people, getting my eyes on situations, getting my eyes on this and that and the other, and it affected my worship. I guess I could say it better. It infected my worship. Amen. Worship of the Lord is not political. Right. Worship of the Lord is not economical. Doesn't matter about the economy. Doesn't matter about politics. That's right. Amen. It doesn't matter who won the election or who'll win the next one. There's some people not going to worship anyway.
Right.
It doesn't matter what laws are being passed. Some are not going to worship God anyway. Amen. Are we amazed? I'm putting myself in it. Are we amazed how flimsy and fickle that we are?
Right.
Our Lord is consistent and changes not. Therefore, He is worthy at all times of honor and glory and praise and adoration. But we let the smallest little old things come in our life, knock our spiritual life plumb off the hill. Come on now. I'm not asking for you to testify. I'm telling you, I asked the Lord this week, last night, to forgive me for allowing little nothings to become big somethings to the point that it affected my spiritual life. Now, I know y'all wouldn't testify that. That's probably why I'm up here preaching. How's your adoration of the Lord? What are you most excited about during this time of the year? What thrills you the most? Presence or giving of your life to the Lord? Giving of your life to the Lord. You say, preacher, but what can I give the Lord? He has everything. All He wants is for you to give Him what belongs to Him. You say, can I need to give Him what belongs to Him? Yeah, Romans 12 would be a good place to start, verse 1 and 2. I beseech you therefore, brethren, listen, I'm going to emphasize a word in that verse. I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God that you present. Can I say it another way? Present. You present a present. That you may present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be you transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is the good and acceptable and perfect will of God. You know what would be a good present to give Jesus this year? Give Him your body. Say, Lord, here I am. Because you can't give Him your body without giving Him you. Because you live in a body. You're not a body, you just live in one. Present your body and say, Lord, here I am. I want to be a holy, acceptable, living, pleasing, honoring sacrifice for you. Amen. And I'm giving myself to you. Oh, wouldn't that, what do you think that would do for you, and what would it do for the work of God if people would give their life to Jesus? Lost person, if you're here today and you're not saved, what do you think it would do for the Lord? What do you think it'd do to His heart for you to come and say, Lord, here I am. I'm tired of fighting against you. I'm tired of running against you. I'm tired of rejecting you. I'm tired of that. I'm tired of a life of sin. Lord, I'm yielding myself to you. I'm giving myself. I know it's not much, Lord. I know it's not much, but I'm giving it to you. And you know what the Lord will do if you'll do that? He'll take it. Because He doesn't take it for what it is, but for what He's going to make it to be. He knew what I was before I got saved and what I'd be after I got saved. He knew that. He knew all of that. But when I came to the altar, He had every right to reject. So, if you don't have no more to give me than that, forget it. But no, He said, I'll take it. Amen. Him that cometh to me, I like these words. Him that cometh to me, I will in no wise cast out. Praise His holy name. Amen. I believe God just wanted to stir our hearts about adoration. Adoring Him and just seeing if are we doing it. And how valuable, it must be valuable, wouldn't you agree with that? It must be something valuable because everybody just about it except, of course, Herod around the Lord Jesus Christ adored Him, honored Him, followed Him, served Him. Are we doing that? Let's all stand on our feet.